The parable we've just read of the bridesmaids or virgins, the sensible on the one hand and the foolish on the other. At first reading, is not so much mysterious, but we wonder exactly what does the Savior mean. The parable at first reading is obvious. There was a wedding feast. There were bridesmaids to accompany the groom. And among the Jews was and still is the custom of meeting the bridegroom with lighted lamps. Some of the bridesmaids brought not only their lamps, but also some oil to burn in the lamp. The others, perhaps, given the time of the day, they just forgot. The bridegroom was announced. Those who had forgotten to bring the oil noticed, forgotten, told the others, "Would you mind sharing your oil with us?" Well, those who had the oil were afraid because, as they said, it might not be enough for all of us. Why don't you go out to buy some? Again, sensible advice. Those who didn't have any ran out to get some oil. By the time they got back, the bridegroom was already in the wedding hall. The door was closed. They asked to get in and were told, "Sorry, I don't know you." And then Christ's final comment, "So, stay awake. You don't know the day or the hour when Christ the bridegroom will actually come to call us into eternity." The meaning behind the parable, you might say, is a little strange. Of course, we've got to appreciate how important bridesmaids are at a wedding. They are important. And if the custom of the people, as it was and is among the Jews, that the groom be met with lighted lamps, that too was absolutely essential. The dozen or so weddings that I've assisted at in my 35 years as a priest, I'm embarrassed. But my work is academic. I just don't solemnize weddings. My one dramatic and traumatic experience at a wedding, the groom came rushing into the sacristy before the wedding mass, and he said, "Father, can I get married?" So naturally I asked him, "Is the bride here?" "Oh yes, the bride is here, but I've told this story many times, how little details at a wedding are so important." "Oh, the bride is here, but," he said, "I'm not sure that we can get married." "Well, what seems to be the problem?" "Well, it's this way, Father. I wanted to buy my bride a specially made wedding ring just for the occasion. Well, the jeweler was delaying and delaying, and last night, just before he closed the jewelry shop, he still didn't have the wedding ring. So I said, well, you can get married. Yes, but he says, this thing. And he showed me in his hand a substitute wedding ring that the jeweler gave him. The real wedding ring was still being made. He was serious. During the wedding, when I convinced him that he can get married with that wedding ring, he put his paw on the left side of the dish for the blessing, and I told him, I'll make sure that no holy water falls on this ring. 2 weeks after the wedding, he wasn't sure he was married. The real wedding ring had arrived. I went through literally the wedding ceremony all over again. Sure as I'm standing here. Not the mass, but the ceremony. Now, I think this is not unimportant. What seems like a little detail in the Gospels. All right, so they ran out of oil. So what? Well, for a wedding, that is awfully important. Now the lesson. What may seem to be a trifle, that the wedding is to take place, where the groom is escorted by bridesmaids with lighted lamps. Well, if that's the condition that the bridegroom wants, if he wants to be met with lighted lamps, they better meet him with lighted lamps. In the matter of doing God's will, we are not the ones to decide what is important and what isn't. A great deal of what we call God's will in our lives may not seem to us all that important. So what's wrong with telling a joke at somebody's expense? Or taking something from a person who, as the expression goes, will never miss it? Or my wife just isn't well. She never wants to go out. So what's wrong with going out with another woman if I'm a married man? You name the law of God, and in most cases, we with our little finite minds do not grasp the seriousness of what we are told to either do as a command of God or not do when it's a prohibition. So what's wrong with a woman killing her unborn child? You won't call it an unborn child. You'll call it a fetus, give it any other name except the real one. Doesn't she have the freedom to decide how her body is to live, and if She doesn't want that child. If a mistake was made, what's wrong? You go down the line of the Ten Commandments, and they're all being broken. Dear Lord, broken. And people always find a reason, right? One sin after another, they will dismiss with a shrug of the shoulders or some expression indicating how little they consider this breach of the law of God to be. Remember, and this is one thing that I want to bring out as you see in this homily, the laws of God are not to be judged for their importance by our standard. One reason, no doubt, why Christ, of all the parables he might have given to illustrate people who for failure to keep God's law will not get to heaven, which put more positively, will go to hell. He wanted to make sure we leave it up to God to judge how important his commandments are, and not how trivial we think they are. From the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, we don't have to, as you know, believe it was literally an apple. But it could have been. The important thing, and this is the bottom line, the important thing in doing God's will is that it's his will. If he wants something on the right side and we put it on the left, he tells us, look, on the right side, what difference does it make? Are we clear? The difference it makes is that God wants it. It is both that simple and that awful. In other words, with God there are no trifling sins. We know the difference between venial and mortal sin, because God has decided that some sins deprive the soul of his friendship. Other sins weaken that friendship but don't deprive the sinner of the grace of God. It is up to God to decide what he wants us to do and what he does not want us to do. The essence of doing God's will is doing his will, no matter how unimportant or insignificant we may think doing this which we want, or not doing what we don't want, contrary to the will of God, may be. We don't decide what's a sin. God does. Let us ask our Savior to give us a clearer and deeper understanding of his will, so that when he, the bridegroom, will be announced, no doubt it will be in a hospital. the bridegroom has arrived. We have hours, or maybe minutes, to live. And we are still conscious. Let's ask the dear Lord to serve him with that fidelity. He will have wished to serve him at our last conscious moment before his coming is announced. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.